In the 1980s, the independent music scene was really taking off in New Zealand. There was a bit of a DIY ethos, and it saw a boom in homegrown record labels. You'll know the name Flying Nun, but do you know the names Propeller and Bunk Records and Eelman, a Wellington-based label that stood out for its humour, funk and bold aesthetics? John Nyland from Eelman is here today to tell us the story of the label and play some of the songs from their back catalogue, which has just been reissued digitally. Hi there, John.
Hi there.
Congrats on the reissue, by the way. Must be exciting times for you.
Absolutely exciting.
Yeah.
Terrific.
So for someone who hasn't come across this label, what do we need to know? It came out of a band called The Hulamen, right?
Okay, right. So it started, the genesis of Eelman started with The Rodents. That was a big, like a big band, horn section. And we, you know, did the big Wellington thing, and we went on a tour, and that really cemented our musicality, if you like. And then the band broke up, various people moved on. And then from that, The Hulamen started. And The Hulamen were sort of, their focus was on recording. The Rodents only did two tracks and did them down at a broadcasting house down near the Parliament there. And so we thought, well, you know, we're up for right. We'd had a good grounding in rhythm and blues and rock and roll, and all of the, you know, different styles of music from America and the in England. And, you know, sort of after a while, it sort of distilled into our own kind of musical identity. And so The Hulamen, you know, did the circuit. We didn't do a lot of touring, but we did a lot of playing around Wellington. And we
started a good tradition of Wellington bands too, of having quite plenty of people in the lineup.
Well, that's right. That's right. And we did. We had, it was like a review. It was sort of modelled on the Rough Justice. I think we're all big fans of Rough Justice. We saw them playing at the Last Resort and various other venues. And then we were all, you know, very, one way or another, inspired by that. And I was invited to join these guys from Onslow College. And pretty much how it started, we had big shows, and we had the horn section, and then it sort of like escalated from there into big shows with scaffold and dancers, lots of art, and of course the Eelman came together as well. He was a character that was developed.
And part of the story is the Terminus Tavern. Tell us about this place.
Well, the Terminus Tavern, in some ways, that was sort of where we, I think everything came to a bit of an apex at the Terminus. That's where we invented our stage show. John McDougall was just telling me the other night that he organised the scaffold himself, and Steve Jessop, they jumped a fence. I don't know if I'm going to get into trouble here, but anyway, they jumped a fence and they got some scaffold, and the brother helped. We're all sort of pitched in and built the scaffold. And we had decked it out with punga and, you know, various artworks and stuff. And we had dancers. And that was sort of became a bit of a myth, that whole Terminus gig. It was over 3 days, became a bit of a you know, that's where I think we earned our name as a big review. Because we also featured lots of different vocalists. We had
corner of Taranaki and Courtney Place. Which corner?
The corner where now the Burger Fuel is, I think. Yeah, just along there.
Oh, go on, help me out. Which one's that? There was like Molly Malone's or something.
Okay, Molly Malone's. You're over the road. You go over the road.
Yeah.
To where the Millionaire Pizza, I think now.
Okay.
And then just up a little bit further from there was the Terminus. It was a great pub. And, of course, the problem was that it was upstairs. You had to load upstairs. So we were carting band equipment and keyboards. And so that's why we were there for 3 days. What's the point in going for one night? You go for 3 nights and make the most of it.
Okay, so where did the label come out of then?
So the Rodents built up quite a swag of cash. The idea was, as I said earlier, because it was disappointing to have such a fantastic band like the Rodents and not actually have an opportunity to really do a lot of, you know, record some material. So we built up a bit of a war chest of cash, and then we went, okay, we've got you know, we had a good swag of music that we'd built up from all these various shows. And then we approached Radio New Zealand. We spoke to a guy called Bob Cameron, and he introduced us to Tony Burns. And we had production meetings. It was all very, very professional. We had the money to be able to record at Studio 2. That was, you know, a real treat. So we did half the album there. And then
is that the RNZ Studios?
That was the old RNZ Studios that have since been demolished. Yeah, okay. I drive past there at time. You know, I drive past every day with, you know, a sense of nostalgia. I mean, that they were great. That they were great rooms, and for us and that experience of recording there, that was an amazing time actually.
Let's get a song on. Where does working for a living fit into the story?
So Working for a Living came from the Preservatives. We drafted Jerry Moran into the Hula Men, and then we put some horns around it, and then we went to Radio New Zealand. We kind of pieced it all together. The story of it is Jerry and I in the Preservatives one night. It was a dark night, as they are in Wellington. It was cold. And we were all lamenting our jobs. And I just came along with a horn, essentially a guitar riff, two chords with more, and Jerry came up with the words. And so that was the birth of Working for a Living.
Here it comes.
Trapped inside this prison, been working 9 to 5. I guess this so-called job I possess is barely keeping me alive. But I'll have to push on through thick and through thin until I find me an answer, a resolution. Working.
RNZ National, a bit of a reggae vibe there, John.
Definitely a reggae vibe.
Were you genre loyal as a record label, or was it ever sounding good?
Yeah. If you listen to that's what I love about the back catalogue, and the whole story behind that. If you listen to I've just been listening to it again today, just randomly on Spotify. There's so many different styles over the 13 bodies of work. Everything from rock and roll, blues, swamp blues, funk, doo-wop, cowpunk, Pacific calypso, windy indie pop, and R&B, and a bit of reggae. It's got a bit of everything in it. And the Hula Men were like that as a band. We could do any style, play any style. And all of our original compositions all vary right across the board.
Tell me about Pakaranga Girl.
Pakaranga Girl is an Economic Wizards track. The Economic Wizards are a band that I've discovered myself through digitising the back catalogue and getting to know the guys who are in it. So I'm still, I'm still learning all their the different names they've got themselves. Pakaranga Girl is a song written for Lorraine Downes. It's a cult classic.
Great.
Classic composition, doo-wop sound, beautiful guitar, and the story goes that I think they just got the amplifier and the guitar right and the words and music kind of flowed out. I'm not really sure, but John Lowe is the songwriter there, and that's the story more or less that he told me.
Let's get it on.
Can we hear some of that? Yeah, it's a fantastic track.
Great, okay.
This song is dedicated to
New Zealand's loveliest ambassador, ladies and gentlemen, of course I'm talking about our own, our very own Miss Universe, Lorraine Downs. You are the sun shining out of the clouds. Yours is the face that stands out in the crowd. You lead the world with your poise and your charm. But I wish you were here in my arms.
Yeah, I enjoy that one. That's good. Pakaranga Girl. We're listening to the newly digitised collection from Eel Man Records. Quick word on Eel Man himself, who, as you say, was actually personified on stage, a guy in an Eel Man mask.
He was, yeah. And we had a tall guy who, Bob his name was, and he was the only person who could fit that mask. You know, I've tried to get it on my own head and it never sits right, but on Bob it just worked. And Bob was sort of, you know, drafted in. He was sort of like he got a free cover charge, I think. And we pulled him in, and he'd wander around on stage, and that rocked everybody up and got everybody going. Yeah.
Lovely. I'm talking to John Nyland, by the way, who was part of the collective who formed Eel Man Records. And so how are things going now that you've got this record label? It must have been a pretty exciting time. Must have felt like you were part of something.
So we didn't have, you know, like a lot of, at that period of time, we went to PolyGram, I think, and a few EMI maybe here in Wellington. But I sort of picked up on the flavour of the month that was going on, you know, the Flying Nun thing and the different labels looking after their own stuff. And that seemed like a really good idea to me, you know, like take control of your own material, promote it, look after it, you know, try, get the money in, money out sort of thing. And, you know, and also gives, and I'm really, when I'm looking back on it, I'm really pleased that I, you know, we stuck to that. We had an opportunity to have another label take it over, but I think, you know, the subsequent things that flowed from Beer and Skittles into the rest of the albums that came out, that gave us a real identity. And yes, it was something to be proud of and be part of.
And there was plenty of demand for your record, Beer and Skittles, as well.
Beer and Skittles flew out the window. Sorry to interrupt. Yeah.
No, not at all. I was just going to say you started having bands knocking on your door, like the Pelicans.
That's right. The Pelicans were part of the musical family, so we're all part of one. They were our heroes. Bill Lake was one of our Rough Justice. You know, he's one of the guys we looked up to. And then next minute, the Hula Men were part of Bill Lake and the Pelicans. Have you got some Pelicans to play?
Yeah, let's get on Crazy Legs.
Crazy Legs, great.
She got crazy legs. She got a heat like a firebox door. Like ham and eggs, make me do things I never did before. Down, down where the street kids go, down in the alley where nobody knows. Making me nervous, making me sweat. Since I went down there, I can't forget. They got heads on their shoulders, below their knees. They're like human flies, they're like jumping beans. Headspace and the cement mixer, but the queen of them all, breaking out on the edge, was a crazy little thing, and they
flies like an angel on the head of a pin. She rotates so fast, she makes my head spin. She dressed so loose, but she moves so tight. Everybody knows that she moves just right.
Obviously a bit of a sense of humour, John Nyland. I mean, it sounds sort of like boys having fun to me, that one's called Crazy Legs by the Pelicans. Is that a good analysis of what was going on there?
I'd say humour, you know.
Yeah.
Absolutely, that was all part of everything that we did. We had our serious side, there's a serious side to the catalogue, there's other tracks that are, you know, a little bit more poignant, but for sure Crazy Legs is definitely out there as being one of the, you know, the big ones in terms of humour and fun, and almost you can almost see a comic book. You know, it's almost like music as a comic book, isn't it? You know, to me.
And probably a good time to list some of the bands involved in Eelman Records: the Economic Wizards, Andrew Clouston, the Timbolas, the Ranch Sliders, Bill Lake and the Living Daylights, the Windy City Strugglers, and like, were you guys I guess the engine of the Wellington music scene at the time?
The Economic Wizards were in Auckland. To be honest with you, some of the history is lost on me because I was overseas. I went overseas, and the label it moved along without me, which I thought was great.
Mm.
And then it got a little bit lost later on, but that's another story. But pretty much at that point in time in the 80s, the people who featured on the Hula Men, in the Pelicans, Economic Wizards, just looking at it, Andrew Cross, also the Ranch Sliders, let's not forget them. They were very great mates of the John McDougall, the songwriters for the Hula Men. And yeah, I think very much at that point in time we would have been the main engine. But there were other bands. So I don't want to don't say we were the only ones. There was a bunch of other
people.
You guys
were into, there's this phrase, art music, which sort of attaches to you, and I guess part of that is the covers of some of these albums. I mean, you could almost point to an Eelman album cover and say it had a certain style, right? Who was responsible for those?
I think, Jesse, when I got all of the covers scanned this year, and to me it was almost like a, you know, it was an amazing moment seeing all of the artwork pieced together on put on Instagram, put it on the website. And when I saw it all together as a collection of art, I was totally amazed myself at how much colour and, you know, how much character is in it all. It's quite amazing, isn't it?
Have you thought about an exhibition? It'd be fascinating for people in Wellington to be able to go and see them all laid out next to each other.
Well, that's what we're thinking about doing in February of 2020. We're thinking about doing a big concert. We've got a venue that's been at last that we're going to use, prefab, late February. And so part of the next 2020 is going to be Eelman Records out there doing a big concert. Yes, and definitely we've talked about doing an exhibition as well.
New Zealand Music Awards are on this week. I don't know if they do Best Cover Design anymore, but that was Crazy Legs won that in, what, mid-80s somewhere.
Sorry to interrupt. That was news to me. I didn't even know that until probably about a month ago, and I started, you know, rereading a lot of the history.
Shout out to Deborah Buston if she's still around. She was the one who painted those records.
Well, absolutely, and she did a lot of the stage work as well. A lot of the set design, and especially set design on Beer and Skittles, she was responsible for.
Tell me about this track, Waiting for the Bus That Never Comes.
That's a good Wellington song, isn't it? And it's a definitely 30
years
Wellington.
Later,
we were just musing about that the other day. It's a, kind of a calypso type sound, and another kind of, you know, example of the type of music that's in the catalogue. There's so many different styles in it.
Let's get it on. Oh, who's the performer, by the way?
Bill Lake.
Okay, here it comes.
It's a Bill Lakey.
Standing on the corner of the street, waiting for that girl he wants to meet. If he don't hurry soon, she's gonna change her tune. He'll be hanging around looking at it.
RNZ National. It's our Tuesday music feature, and we are getting the history of Eel Man Records with John Nyland, who was very involved at the time, despite, as John says, moving away for a few years in 1986 to go to art school in Sydney. And I guess, what was the end of Eel Man? How did it end? Under what circumstances?
I don't think it ended. I think that it's, I suppose, The very last, the Windy City Strugglers was the last album that came out. It was still, for me, it never ended.
Okay.
I should say that.
What made you go back to the albums and make them available digitally for the first time?
It's a very good question. I felt, it's a hard one. What I decided was I really wanted to have all of the music for myself on a computer so I could have on my iPhone and just listen to it and enjoy all of the Eel Man music. And when I started...
It's not unreasonable, is it?
No, I mean, you know, after all, it was just a matter of tracking everything down, and that was the biggest job. And that took the best part of 5 years to learn...
Did it?
...to figure out where everything was. Well, where is everything? What have we got available to, and that started a whole process, and then I eventually got to the point where I thought, well, if I've got a very good product here, and I can get a good product, because I have the right person working for me, Andrew Downs, who's a local audio engineer. So the first one that really got me going was Beer and Skittles. I took it to Stebbings, and they digitised it, and I put it out, and I thought, well, why not have the whole lot out, you know, make it available?
Yeah, and I mean, you wanting to be able to listen to it is reason enough, but had you heard from other people in New Zealand or overseas who wanted to be able to listen
to it?
Look,
I used to get, over the years I've had a Eel Man Records website up and running, and I had a contact form, and I had emails from all of the states, from New York, a lot of people from New York, strangely enough, San Francisco, LA, all of those places. And then Europe, UK, and Germany. Then occasionally you get people out of Japan. In fact, I've got people from Japan who wanted to buy the vinyl. So I sold a lot of stuff into there, some extra things that I had. So there was a worldwide demand for it, if you like, not enough for me to, you know, enough for me to go... It should go out, you know, should make it more available with the advent and development of streaming services.
Yeah.
It meant that we could, for me personally, I thought, why not make it available?
Let's get one on. Tell me about Vandalized.
Vandalized is the Tom Bowlers, and that's my good friend John McDougall, who was one of the founding members of the Hula Men with myself. And once again, humour. And also a kind of a, they described the, I said to John, how would you describe your music? And our friend Andrew Cross, he described it as urban grunterbilly. So that's our best take on that. So we should have a listen to it and see what we think of that.
Okay, here it comes.
My hottie, come on baby, fill up my hottie, come on baby, fill up my hottie, come on baby, fill up my hottie. Yeah.
on, babe, fill up my hottie. A great message. A message for the ages.
It's incredible, eh? I mean, how? That's why I decided this stuff had to come out. But where would you?
It's so Kiwi, eh?
So Kiwi. But what I loved about getting everything together and listening to everything is the actual musicianship is so good. You know, all of the playing. We're very talented. I think there was a very talented bunch of people in there, and you know, playing away, having a good time.
You actually did have a reunion show in 2001, I think.
That was for Feel the Eel.
Feel the Eel, right. That was a compilation.
That was a compilation. That was the first round of digitisation that took place, and the idea was to put out a CD and then do a show. That's what we did. We did a show in Marion Street. And that was a huge success. We had a lot of people come from all over New Zealand because they'd all moved out of Wellington, so they all flew back for that night. And that was a great fun piece of fun, that one.
Love it. We've got time for one more. Do you want to play GUILTY or Sell Out?
Can we play some Ranch Lighters? I think they're sort of the part of the catalogue that are completely different from just about everything else. So yeah, that's a good way to end the show.
Which one's Ranch Sliders?
GUILTY, guilty.
Okay. Hey, John Nyland, any instructions for people trying to find this stuff online, or are they on the regular streaming services?
So if you go to eelmanrecords.com homepage, you'll see what I've done there is I've put all of the links to Spotify and iTunes. They're just very handy and easy to get to. And then just below that, you'll see I've created a Spotify, four or five Spotify playlists. The first one is the catalogue, this 01 to 13. And then the second playlist is from 14 onwards. And then there's a collaborative one there. And,
great.
So.
Okay, the website's a good place to start. Thanks for coming in. Really appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Here comes this final track.
I'm gonna